Well, once again, this is Jim Rowell, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. I'm going to give you a brief update on what's going on here in Africa today. And we're over in Arusha in Tanzania as I speak today. Arusha is a beautiful city, sits right at the base of Mount Kilimanjaro. It's a bit mountainous around here and beautiful, lush city. And many tourists here come here to not only climb the mountains and explore the territory around here, but also it's a great entryway or gateway to the Serengeti Plain off to the west of Arusha, where many, many millions of animals, the zebra, the impala, the wildebeest, all of these animals go up and down this grassland called the Serengeti Plain. And they migrate up into Kenya in the summer, and then they come back down into Tanzania in the wintertime, eat the fresh grass, and there's millions of animals out there, many, many tourists in these big Toyota Land Rovers. And so this is a very interesting place. It doesn't look like other places in Africa because of the international influence here brought in by all the tourists. And so we're here today. We'll be here. And as you listen to this broadcast, we'll be wrapping up today this four-day crusade in Arusha. And so we started last night, had quite a few salvations last night. Many people came into the kingdom. And so we're rejoicing in that and rejoicing in the fact that we have had an open door and very good reception here in Arusha. So pray for that today. Even as you hear this broadcast, pray for the reception and the crusade in Arusha, that many more people will come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior. Well, today we're going to be talking about the spiritual gifts, the office gifts primarily, and this is found in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8. And so these office gifts are listed there in verse 11. And these gifts are the gift of apostle, evangelist, prophet, pastor, and teacher. Those are the five gifts, or other name given to them is the fivefold ministry. And so as we think about the fivefold ministry, we think about the gifts that are given to equip the saints for the work of service that God has given us to do. So I'm going to start out today by reading this passage of scripture from Ephesians 4, 8 to 11. And it says, this is the Apostle Paul speaking. It says, now this he ascended. What does it mean? But that also he descended into the lower parts of the earth. This is talking about Jesus Christ after he was placed in the tomb, after he died on the cross, he was placed in the tomb. And his body was laying in the tomb for 3 days and three nights, but his spirit was active. His spirit went down to Sheol, or down to hell. He descended down into the lower parts of the earth, Paul says. And he who descended is also he who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. Well, Jesus had something to do when he descended into the lower parts of the earth, and he went down there and he released the captives. And this is spoken of in Psalm 68, verse 18. This is a prophetic psalm that talks about Jesus releasing the captives from hell. And he did this when he was in the tomb. His spirit went and he preached to the fallen angels. He preached to them in hell, and he took the keys of hell away from the devil, and he released the captives from the Old Testament saints. He released them from their place of captivity in hell, which was called Abraham's bosom or paradise, and he released them, and he ascended on high. He led captivity captive, the psalm says. He led captivity captive, and he gave gifts to men. And so at this point in time, the church was initiated. At this point in time, the gifts that he gave kicked off the New Testament church, because Jesus immediately after this, when he led the captivity captive, when he led them up out of Sheol, he led them into heaven, and they then received their redemption, they received their reward, and they were sitting down then with Jesus at the right hand of God. And if you go to heaven today, you will see Adam and you will see Eve and you will see Moses, you'll see King David and Elijah and Elisha and all the prophets and all those who believed in God. You will see them in heaven. God didn't forget them. He didn't abandon them in Sheol. There was no blood to redeem them until Jesus went to the cross. And then at that point in time, the payment was made for their redemption. The payment was made for their salvation. And he led them up out of Sheol. He led them, led the captivity captive, and he gave gifts to men. And so we take it up here then in verse 11 of Ephesians 4. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Verse 12, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. So basically, that's a big long sentence that Paul has here. It's a Paulism, we call it. But essentially, what it says is the reason Jesus Christ gave gifts to men at this time. Number one, to start the church. The church had to have a framework. Just like when you build any building, especially like a steel building, but even a concrete or brick building, it has to have a framework. And that framework is built first. It's put together first. When you build a steel building, you bolt the pieces of steel together, the girders, and then sometimes you weld them together. So the building cannot be shaken. The building can't fall when the wind hits it. And then you put the skin on, you put the outside sheeting on, or brick, or whatever it is you're going to use as your outside covering, your outer covering, and the structural part of the building is maintained by the steel girders that hold the building together and hold it up and prevent the building from being shaken when an earthquake shakes or shaken when the wind blows against it. And so it is with the church. Jesus gave these five-fold ministry gifts, the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, pastor, and teacher, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. So you might have a question, well, can I be one of the structural fivefold gift ministers in the church? Yes, you can. You don't have to go to a Bible college, although that's great if you do. You don't have to go to a seminary, although that's great if you do. The ordination for the fivefold ministry comes from the Lord Jesus Christ, comes from God himself. And Paul talks about this in every one of the letters that Paul writes. He starts that letter off and he says, I, Paul, an apostle, I, Paul, called to be an apostle. This is from 1 Corinthians chapter 1:1. I, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God. And he starts off every one of his teachings that way in Ephesians. I, Paul, an apostle. This is Ephesians. I, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. And some of the times he says this didn't come from man. This ordination, this call did not come from man. It came from the Lord Jesus Christ himself, or came from God. And so Paul is recognizing the fact that his anointing and that his ordination and that his authority to be called an apostle and to do the work of the apostle came from God himself and not from man. And so last week we talked about the apostles. And the apostles are the sent ones. They're the ones sent out. And we had the original 12 apostles. And then Judas was taken out and replaced by Matthias. And the original 12 were walking with Jesus and saw Jesus personally face to face. We don't have the original apostles any longer, but there were other apostles. The apostle Paul wasn't listed in the original 12. Neither was Silas, neither was Barnabas, or any of those people who ministered with Paul. And there was many apostles during Paul's time, people that were sent out. And you can look at Acts chapter 13, and in verse 1, Paul talks about being sent out as an apostle. and he looks to the places where God is going to send him, and he is saying that I want to be the first one there. That's the apostolic calling. I don't want to build on someone else's foundation. I want to be the first one there and establish Jesus Christ as the foundation in that place for the kingdom in that place. Well, let's just look at Acts 13, verse 1. Now, in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers: Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And they ministered to the Lord and fasted. And the Holy Spirit spoke and said, "Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." And then, having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. So now they have the apostolic calling. They have been sent out from the church. And that is what the word apostle means. It means sent one. And so these two men, Barnabas and Saul, the Holy Spirit spoke to these men who were praying and fasting. And the Holy Spirit spoke to them and said, "Separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called them." And then, having fasted and prayed, laid hands on them, they sent them away. And being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. And when they arrived in Salami, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they also had John as their assistant. So there was three of them there traveling together. So that is the apostolic anointing. And you notice there in Acts 13, it says that there were prophets. Some of these men who were gathered to pray were prophets and teachers. And so there was a gathering of those who were anointed in the fivefold ministry. And they, amongst themselves, the Holy Spirit pointed out two of them to be sent out with the apostolic calling. And Paul made about three trips up into Asia, through Turkey, Greece, Macedonia, on over to Rome and Italy, on over to Spain. Paul made three different trips, and so he fulfilled his calling, his apostolic calling, and he fulfilled it in a way that eventually he wrote 13 books of the New Testament, and he spent time in prison. Some of the books were written in prison, from prison, and some of the books have letters of instruction to us. Others are very concerned about doctrinal issues of the Christian faith, of the kingdom of God. And so Paul was a very learned man. He was very educated, and not only in Christian teaching and in revelation from Jesus Christ, but he was also educated in the Old Testament scriptures. That's how he was trained. That's how he was taught up. And so that is what God used the most, was Paul's diverse knowledge and broad education in all the scriptures. And then in revelation of what we now call the New Testament, Paul eventually wrote 13 books of the New Testament. So we have the apostle, we have the prophet, and the prophet speaks about coming things. The prophetic gift is a gift that gives people the unction and the revelation to speak about things to come, also to reveal truth of things that are in the present tense. And so the Bible says in Amos chapter 3, verse 7, that the Lord does nothing without revealing his secret to his servants, the prophets. And people say, well, we don't have any prophets now because Isaiah died and Jeremiah died, and we don't have any prophets today. Well, that's not true. We have prophets. We have people that have the prophetic anointing today. I don't see any place in the scripture where God says we don't have any more prophetic anointing. This teaching about the fivefold ministry is in the New Testament. So do we not have New Testament prophets? Why would Paul even bring up the subject if we don't have New Testament prophets? That doesn't even make sense to say we don't have New Testament prophets. We are in the New Covenant time, and prophets are here among us. God still anoints certain people with prophetic gifts. He still anoints people to be able to have an understanding of the future, because God reveals that future to them. And so you can say, well, how does God do that? God is not confined or bound by time. He knows the beginning from the end, as we don't. We are bound by time. We're all going to die at some point in time, day after day after day. At some point, someday, we're going to die. That's not true with God. That's not true with the Holy Spirit or Jesus Christ. And so the prophetic anointing is given to people so they can have the ability to understand the future and understand what's coming in the future. I can tell you that this has applied to me a bit. I was given a dream back in 2010 that showed me I was going to be standing on a platform in Africa preaching the gospel someday. I had no idea as far as timing when it was going to come. I had no desire to go to Africa, had no desire to even go there to look at lions or elephants or do a tourist thing. I had no desire to do that. Africa was not on my radar, even one little bit. And I was given this vision by the Lord that I was standing on a platform preaching the gospel some point in the future. Well, a few months later, I got a call from a friend in Florida, an evangelist, and he said, Jim, we're going to Kenya, to Nairobi. We're going to preach the gospel around in different places in Nairobi, and we'd like another preacher to go with us. We have had a big team, about 18 people they had involved in this team, to visit orphanages and do a different evangelism thrusts around in Nairobi. He said, we need another preacher to go with us. And so I was chosen by that team to go with them as a preacher. But at that point in time, that calling of an evangelist, that calling that God showed me in that dream, then came to pass, because I found myself standing on a platform in Nairobi preaching the gospel about 4 months after God gave me that dream. So that is the prophetic unction. That's the prophetic calling. And again, we have prophets that speak on a regular basis. You can look them up on the internet, or you may even know some that speak on a regular basis what God has shown them for the future. And if you're interested, there's a very good website on the internet called ElijahList.com. You can go there and see many prophetic posts that prophets across the nation and across the world post regarding things that are yet to come, or understanding and revelation of words given by the Lord. The prophetic anointing never trumps what God has spoken in His Word. It never is an addition in terms of scriptural validity or scriptural authority. It's not an addendum to scriptural authority. It's just hearing from God in the here and now, but it can be regarding things in the past. It can be regarding things in the future. That is the prophetic anointing. And so the apostle is the governor. He sets the foundation, sets the framework. The prophet is the guide. He comes in and gives guidance to the body of Christ. And then we have the evangelist, and the evangelist is the one who preaches the word. And Paul says in the book of Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 4, he tells Timothy, I charge you, therefore, Timothy, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort, and with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves false teachers. And so Paul exhorts Timothy to preach the word. That is what the evangelist does. He is a preacher. He's the one that evangelizes and explains and exhorts the gospel message to people. He explains and he exhorts the gospel message to those who don't know Jesus Christ. And Paul also brings this up in Romans chapter 10. And he says here in verse 14, 10:14, how then shall they call on Jesus in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him on whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Beloved, that's why I'm on the radio every Sunday and have been for 17 years. There's some people listening to me who don't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. There's some people who have known Jesus for 50 years or maybe 70 years. But the evangelist is the one who goes out and seeks the lost with the radio broadcast, a television broadcast, with crusades, with church revivals. There has to be an evangelism thrust by the body of Christ to reach the lost. Otherwise, the church is dead. The church is in the doldrums. And if there is no evangelism thrust, there are no people coming into the kingdom to help refresh the kingdom, but also there are no new salvations coming. So the evangelist is the gatherer. He's the one that goes out into the woods, looks for the biggest tree, chops it down, and then he leaves, lets the pastor and the teacher chop up that wood and make boards out of it. The evangelist is the gatherer. We know Billy Graham. We know Franklin Graham here in America. We know Greg Laurie. There's some pretty famous evangelists. But when you come to Africa, there's many, many evangelists because crusades here are a part of the African culture. People here love to stand out in the outdoors in a field or some street or someplace like that and listen to the gospel, listen to the gospel singers. And so this is part of the African heritage. It's a tropical weather here. People can stand out all day long and they're not going to get cold. They're not going to be worried about if the heat's on back at their house. And so this is part of the African culture. And so there are many, many evangelists right now as I speak. Daniel Kalenda, one of the most famous evangelists in the world, is over in Ghana. And they had 100,000 people last night, the first night of their crusade in Ghana. They started off with 100,000 people. Well, we didn't have that kind of a big crusade here, but we had a good crusade and quite a few that came into the kingdom last night. And so the evangelist preached the word. Going back to Romans 10:15, it says, "How shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then, Paul says, verse 17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so it is important that we send people out. Again, I can't emphasize enough. When the church does not have a focus on evangelism, when the church quits worrying about the lost and just focuses on church tasks and church busyness and internal affairs of the church, if that's the only focus of the church, then the church becomes dead and it is in the doldrums. The church has to stay active and seek those who are lost. Jesus said, I came to seek and save those who are lost. Jesus said, I didn't come for the well, I came for the sick. And that is why Jesus came, was to save us from our sins. And so it's very, very extremely important that evangelists go out and evangelists present the word of God, present the simple gospel truth to people who don't know Jesus. And I've seen in crusades here in Africa, Muslims come to the altar dressed in their hijab, and people of other religions, all kinds of pagans, come to the altar. And so the work of the evangelist is critical to keep bringing people into the kingdom of God. And so you might say, well, then what happens to those people after the crusade? Well, this is what happens. The pastors that we work with in every location, in every city or every village that we go to preach the gospel, the pastors then take over those people, those new converts. The pastors take over those people and they shepherd them, they disciple them, they get them Bibles, and they baptize them, train them up in the way that they should go. They're just like a little child in your family. You have to train them to do the right thing. And so it is in the church when new converts come in, new believers come in, they have to be taught, they have to be trained, they have to be disciples in the ways of the kingdom. And as they're trained, then they will then eventually go out and become the new apostles and the new evangelists. Well, next week we're going to take up the pastors and the teachers of the fivefold ministry. And so that's going to be an important teaching also, because everybody can relate to a pastor. Everybody knows a pastor. And that is the local church, the overseer, the shepherd of the local church. And so the pastor's job is very important. And so we're going to be discussing that next week. Well, Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We thank the Lord for that. And we praise the Lord for this day. We thank the Lord for the crusade. If you'd like to be a part of this ministry, we invite you to join us. We invite you to sit down today and write out a check. Let us know you're listening. You can also join us and support us with your credit card or debit card. And you can do that through paypal.me@gatheredtheoutcasts. And so just stay tuned for contact information. We'd love to hear from you today. We'd love to have you pray with us. And we'll get some information, we'll get some literature in your hand if you contact us and let us know that you're listening. Let us know you want to support this ministry, and we'd love to have you on board. Stay tuned for contact information coming up at the end of this broadcast. Thank you again for listening. God bless you. Tune in again next week.